This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Hi, guys. It's me, Harriet Rose. How are you? Are you okay? Sometimes when I ask that on the radio, I think, is there one time just going to be a reply and it's going to freak me out so much that I'd, like, faint? I sometimes want someone to just shout, yes, I'm good, back at me, because it's just talking to yourself, really. But I hope there is someone there listening. At least Theo and Nat are, or no, maybe they're not. My producers, who knows? How are we, guys? Today on the show, I've got some incredible new artists for you. Eleni C is going to be in the studio first. Max Leo, who is a brand new artist who's just dropped his first ever single. Reigns is in the studio. Naomi Banks is in the studio. Jay Loon is in the studio. And we're going to have Element from 99 Wolves and Adults chatting to us later on in the show as well. Plus, new music. Now, you know the drill. This show is a new music show. We bring you the best and brightest new music around. And it's just getting more and more plentiful. There is so much going on. I want to kick off the show. Now, there's a lot of new stuff to play. But this one I want to play because I think it's going to get us all in the mood for Thursday afternoon, ready to take on Friday tomorrow. It's the brand new Ariana Grande, Lana Del Rey, Miley Cyrus trifecta of pop joy. Don't Call Me Angel for the new Charlie's Angels movie, which I'm so excited about because I love the original Charlie's Angels with Drew Barrymore, and it's just very, very good. If you haven't seen those, go back and watch them. But this new one looks rough and ready, and I'm gassed for it. Now, originally, they just released the beat for this, Don't Call Me Angel, and that is, for me, the best thing about this song is the beat and the production. It's so good. And that's saying something when you bear in mind that three of the most successful pop artists in the world are the features on the track. So it is a big tune if you haven't heard this yet. I don't know where you've been, hun. But let's kick off the show with this. Get ourselves in the mood, and then I'm going to play you some brand new music.
I don't like
really get me on that, you know? Really like it. Really, really like it. Also, who'd have thunk those three together? Because Lana Del Rey, I mean, mostly Lana Del Rey, is the style is very different to Ariana and Miley. But listen, they sit together like peas in a pod, don't they? Lovely trifecta of pop joy there. Really enjoy that. That is Don't Call Me Angel from the new Charlie's Angels film, which is due for release. I'm having a look now. I actually don't know when it's coming out. All I know is it's got Kirsten Stewart's in it, who I still call Kristen Stewart. That is not her name. And yeah, it's going to be amazing. I'm having a look on there. They've got their own Twitter, for God's sake. November the 15th. It's weird now because films have started to come out. I didn't realise this. All over the world at the same time. We used to be like staggered and now everyone's getting it on the same day, which is nice. Oh, well, there you go. Nat's just proved me wrong. It's out on the 29th, apparently, in the UK and the 15th in the US. All right, well, similar times. But it looks very, very good. Ella Balinska is the newbie in the film that you may not have seen before because she's fairly new. But obviously, we know Kirsten Stewart's in it. She's looking great. She's vibing. And Naomi Scott's in there as well. I've seen her in quite a few films, actually. She's great. I'm just looking forward to it. And I'm very, very gassed for the new Bosley, Elizabeth Banks. She's great. She's very funny. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be good. Did she? Well, there you go. Producer Natalie just told me that she directed it as well, which I cannot believe. I didn't know she was a director. I didn't know she even dabbled. So Elizabeth Banks is director and Bosley, which makes total sense. And there's a new banging theme tune. It's just all looking very rosy for Charlie's Angels, the new film. So keep your eyes peeled in November for that release. Now I'm going to play a song that was recommended to me by Theo, my lovely AP, who suggested it's a cover of a Kendrick Lamar song, Yar Element, Joy Crooks. Now she's just announced that she is going on tour. So if you want to go and check her out after you've listened to the track, you can. She's going all over the UK and stopping off in London. I'm just looking, it's called the Earth Theatre on the 5th of November, so you can go and check her out. But also she's in Berlin, Amsterdam, Paris, Birmingham, Bristol, Manchester, Glasgow and Dublin. Now this cover's really beautiful. He sent it to me last week and I absolutely love it. She's from South London, and she seems to be doing some really exciting things. So have a listen to this and let me know what you think. It's the Yar Element cover of Kendrick Lamar. It's a little medley. Joy Crooks, love it.
Got so many theories and suspicions. I'm diagnosed with real people conditions. Today is the day I follow my intuition. Keep the family close, get money and fuck bitches. I double park the Austin in the red. My mama told me that I'ma work myself to death. My girl told me don't let these hoes get in your head. My world been ecstatic, I checked the signal, the red buzzing. Radars is buzzing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. If I gotta slap a pussy ass, I'ma make it look sexy. If I gotta go hard on a bitch, I'ma make it look sexy. And opinions. Fox News wanna use my name for percentage. My latest muse is my honey, she worth living. See me on the TV and scream, that's Uncle Kendrick. But it's money to get, bitches to hit, zeros to flip, temptation is first on my list, I can't resist. Everyone together now, know that we forever buzzing. Buzzing, yeah, 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 yeah. If I got
piece, Joy Crooks. That is absolutely stunning. Absolutely love that. As I mentioned, she has just announced the pre-sale link for her tour, so go check it. She's going everywhere. She's great. Her voice is beautiful. Go and check her out. So last week, we went in deep. Well, we didn't go in deep, but we chatted a little bit about Wiley's... well, he sort of went a bit nuts about Ed Sheeran and was kind of, you know, going a bit wild about the world of grime and kind of people that take advantage, including Drake in this conversation. Now, since then, Stormzy has dropped Wiley Flow, and that left a lot of fans very, very confused. They weren't sure if it was a diss or if it was a homage. There's clearly elements of it that was a homage. But what cleared it all up was that Wiley tweeted being like, thanks, Stormzy. He didn't say that, but he said something of that ilk. And so it was a sort of homage. And it seems to have dissipated that conversation a little bit, which makes me think there's been some behind the scenes conversations gone down. Although Ed Sheeran did address the situation himself by writing a statement about it, which you can read online, which I thought was quite interesting because usually Ed doesn't wade into the drama, but he did clear up a few bits and bobs in that chat. So if you're interested, go and have a look. But I was surprised that he openly did that, although I bet he did get in contact behind closed doors, away from prying eyes, with Wiley. But still, we've got a new drop from Stormzy, so we're happy. This is Wiley Flow.
Bruv, I didn't look at it this way before, but as I approach my birthday, all you men are my youngers. You man are my youngest, bruv.
If you can't do 10k for a sweet, then I don't wanna hear no chat about numbers. You man are my youngest. All blacks out like grungers. Tens and twenties and hundreds. Tens and twenties and thousands. I can't ever just loud them. On Mount Everest shouting. Soon go back to the mountains. Third album, nigga, I blessed the beat with smoke. And my day one bros, they kept me close. Then I sit my techie, take a talk. They're trying to get me on the ropes. I ain't broke, especially in this cold. So please, man, let's just be adults. And don't be flexing in my boat. Nigga, you can't test me, I'm the GOAT. Rolex collections looking dope. I got the Pepsi and the hope. And I ain't flexing on you niggas, can't still be sexy if I'm broke. Wait there, and I was made to win, like I'm designed to blow. We're doing major things, but it's a minor though. I used to pay for things, but that was time ago. And now I hit you niggas with a wider flow. It's like, bad 'em up, bad 'em up, bad 'em up once. Never could you take me for a dunce. Been on the scene for 100 months. All I met is bare cunts. Take man for lunch, either you get punched. Pick one boy from your bunch, tell man jump. Oh well, you didn't wanna jump well. Oh well, look now you're slumped, little nigga, I swear.
Little nigga, I swear.
Get out my lane,
get out my lane.
North and east and west are hot, but the south's on flames. This year I'ma be a household name. I grew up in a house of pain. I don't do it for the clout or fame. All the real niggas gonna vouch for my name. All the real niggas gonna vouch for my.
Yeah.
If you ain't got more than 5 top 10s, then I don't wanna hear no chat about charting. You man are just starting. Coming like a young Chris Martin. Start swinging with my arms like Carlton. Start swinging with my arms like Anthony. All my niggas been charged, don't amp me. Have you missed in a bra and panty? If you see me in a dance, I'm anti. Quite frankly, heavyweight champion of the world. They wanna war me for my belt. If you ever hear Stormzy caught a nail. No, I stood tall before I fell. There's a couple birthdays coming up, so I took like a quarter from the shelf. Spent like 100 on my mum, then about 140 on myself. The melee I sported like Pharrell, but I got the Nautilus as well. All of these stories that I live, my nigga, these are the stories that I tell. Wait there, and I was made to win, like I'm designed to blow. We're doing major things, but it's a minor though. I used to pay for things, but that was time ago. And now I hit you niggas with a wider flow. It's like, run up on them, man, laughing, fuck it. You got a chain, but you tuck it, fuck it. Man, throw dirt on my name, blood, fuck it. Slew anybody in the family, fuck it. Run up on them, man, laughing, fuck it. You got a chain, but you tuck it, fuck it. Man, throw dirt on my name, blood, fuck it. Slew anybody in the family, aye.
Last 3 tunes kind of proved that I did this. Man, what you say, I put a U on my shit list. Must be the same old U in the dinner hall, primary, sipping on my juice and my biscuits. I'm from a place where you move to the witness. Stare in your face, telling business of business. Came for the fame, but she stayed for the litness. Hot she new girl, she loves Mr. Skangle. Never ever see me with guys known for verbals. My brothers pull up a sky, no rehearsals. Don't switch sizes, no role reversals. How's the best spitter and grab, so commercial. Wait, nobody said you're good, done your chat. Your girl tech the wood lumberjack. Hit him with a lighter flip, humble brag. I can't drop the bag, I'm the bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stormzy, Wiley Flow.
If you ain't got no platinum plaques, then I don't want to hear no chat about.
Boom. Eleni C is here. How are you?
Hey, I'm good.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. You were saying some of your friends have been on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah, I've seen Miss Shay was on the show.
Yeah, lovely. We love our FUBAR family.
Yeah, yeah. And Andre De Giovanni.
Oh, yeah, we love Andre. He did his own takeover as well.
I know, I saw.
Love it. Love that guy. What a babe.
I know, right?
What a mega babe. So how are you?
I'm good, I'm good. Loving the weather right now.
See, I'm a bit stressed by the weather because I want it to be a bit colder than it is.
No, no, don't say that. We don't need the cold quite yet.
I just want it to be like a small amount cold so that I can wear like a light jumper. That's how I feel.
Okay, yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. Like that perfect like autumn feel, like that, when the leaves are falling, the sun's shining, and it's got like that slight little chill in the air.
That is, you've literally just described my perfect weather.
Yeah, that's like, that's my favourite weather.
I'm done with summer. I'm Romeo done, okay? I can't deal with it anymore. But you know what? I'm better that the sun is shining than with the rain. If it
oh
was rain.
Oh my God, rain. Rain, rain kills, it kills me. It kills my life.
Yeah, rain, go away, as they say. Now, we're going to talk about your second single.
Yeah.
And it's coming from the Broken Ice EP, which is coming.
Yes.
I Don't Give a Damn. Now, that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, it kind of is.
I like that vibe, but I read that it is exactly what we were expecting it to be. And it is you sort of giving your two cents about how you feel about how you go about life and also how you think other people should too. Now, tell me from your heart, like, what does the track mean to you?
This track is basically like it says, it's all about, like, I don't give a damn. Like, following a career, like, in music, it's not kind of like the conventional thing. Mm-hmm. And you always have like people say to you, oh, are you sure you want to do that? Is that the right thing?
Ugh,
and
yeah.
It's just like, I've had to learn to be like, do you know what? This is what I want to do. I don't give a damn what you've got to say.
Boom.
And at the end of the day, if I'm going to make a mistake, I'm going to learn from it. It's my problem, not yours.
It's funny you should say that, because I remember when I first started being a presenter, every single person would be like, oh, that's hard. I know. I know that it's hard. And it's like, people expect you to go, is it? Oh, God.
Like, you don't do anything.
I deliberately picked this because it was going to be an easy one.
It's like, oh, that's a bit of a toughie. Ooh. And I'm like, no way, really?
Oh, my God, what? Are you sure? I thought it was quite easy. It seems like it's just, you know, you sing a couple of songs and then
exactly.
You're famous.
Yeah, like, you just, like, lie in bed, you have your nice dreams, and then you wake up and you're like, I'm going to be a singer today.
I'm a pop star. But you know what? That spurs you on, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Gives you the confidence to kind of go, actually, I am going to do it.
I've just kind of learned to laugh it off.
Yeah.
Because people have such like a misconception of what it means to kind of be generally in media.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just think that it's kind of glamorous and like you're going from parties to like going just on stage to sing a song and then you're just chilling, and it's just like, no,
there's a lot of hard work
to it.
I think that leads into a bit of the social media stuff, doesn't it? Because the highlight reel vibe and like how people watch other people and they think that that's how life works, but that also works in any job. It can work in just people's lifestyles, like, oh, here's me on my gorgeous holiday, or here's me, you know. It's important that we are honest about the fact that that's not how life is, right?
Exactly. For me, like, obviously, like, I'm quite on Instagram quite a lot.
Yeah.
But Instagram is only one aspect of my life. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not all of my life. And I think especially with the younger generation, they fail to understand that sometimes when they're looking at like famous people's profiles on Instagram, you're only seeing an aspect of it. You're not seeing like the whole truth. You're not seeing, for example, like, to get one picture on Instagram, it's like you take like 100 to find that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life's not like as glamorous as people think.
It's weird because I remember I posted a picture this week at some point, or a video. It was a video. And I was having the worst day, but I'd planned to post the video. I was like, I've got to post this video tomorrow at this time because I know I need to get a video. You know, I can't remember what it was.
I hear you.
But it's like, from the outside perspective, you know, you just that person posting that picture might be crying their eyes out. You know, you don't know. And I think there's just got to be, we've got to reiterate that it is not reflective of real life all the time.
No, 100%. It's like, for example, like when you get dressed up to go out and have a good time and you put that on Instagram, that's one aspect of your life. Someone else isn't seeing, like, you know, the daily struggle of getting up early and grafting hard at the job that you do. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. especially with what I do, a lot of the time I try to kind of share my day-to-day life on my Instagram story, because I'm all about, like, empowering the younger generation, mm-hmm. and making them understand that anything that you want to do requires hard work, like standing on a stage to sing or wearing the clothes that I'm going to wear. Mm-hmm. Everything requires a decision. It's not something that just, like, happens at a click of a finger.
No, it isn't. That's not real life. And it's coming, this track, going back to I Don't Give a Damn, is the second single from the Broken Ice EP. Now, tell me about that.
So I've kind of been, like, recording music for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. And, like, now came a point where I was, like, I decided to change up my style a little bit.
Yeah.
And I've kind of decided to do, like, music which is kind of upbeat with a bit of Latin feel to it, because I feel it's more of a representation of who I am as an artist, but also as a person. And for me, Broken Ice represents, like, different aspects of life. Like, with a broken ice, there's all little pieces, and that's what my EP is all about. It's about a reflection of all different aspects of life. Like, the first track was about love. The second track is all about, like, taking life by the horns and doing whatever it is that you want to do.
Mm-hmm. And you say you've got, like, sort of Latin influences in there. What were your influences as a child? Was there any specific artists or musical styles that you listened to a lot when you were younger that influenced that?
Do you know what? When I was younger, no. It was more of, like, the Christina Aguilera vibes. I used to be one of those kids in the bedroom with the hairbrush pretending that I was Christina Aguilera.
We all were.
I mean, I love her. But growing up, and probably when I hit about, like, 16, 17, I kind of started to hear more, like, Latin music, more like Maluma, Daddy Yankee. And I was just like, oh, I was like, do you know what? I really like this music.
Yeah.
And then last year I went to Maluma's concert when he was in London, and I was just like, oh my God, I love you.
Yeah. It's funny how they've sort of, like, really impacted the scene, not just in those countries, but also in the UK now, in the US. Yeah. It's such a big part of the music scene now.
Oh my God, Despacito. Like, yeah. It's massive.
And everyone jumped on the bandwagon as soon as, like, those kind of tracks started to come out. Even, like, the tempo and the rhythm, even without you know, artists on there, like reggaeton artists or whatever, they're still using the beats and the sounds of the reggaeton, like, vibe and the kind of, like, those countries. It's beautiful music.
It's kind of hard not to like it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's such feel good music.
Yeah.
As soon as you hear it just makes you want to kind of dance.
Absolutely, and that's the best kind of music. So tell me, when is the Broken Ice EP coming?
Well, it's going to be coming hopefully middle of the new year. So
amazing.
March, April time.
Nice. And how much more of it have you got to work on?
Well, to be honest with you, it's kind of, like, still a working process, because I'm quite, like, particular with, like, my music. I'm quite particular with lyrics. So, like, one song can take, I don't know, like, 2 sessions. Another song can take, like, 100 sessions. Mm-hmm. And then there's those songs that you're like, nope, scrapping it.
Yeah.
No, it's not working for me.
That's good though. You've got to take time with your music. Like you said, you spent 2 years crafting and then you started releasing, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's important to take your time. You shouldn't rush it.
And now, like, I've had to kind of stop doing my music for, like, the time being, because I'm just working on a collaboration now with the DJ Damien Hirst.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So
what's all that about?
Yeah, so we've got, so we basically, like, it was really kind of fluke, really. We met in Ibiza.
Nice.
I was like, hey, I'm a singer. And he was like, yeah, I'm a DJ. And then he was like, you know, I'll listen to some of your stuff. So he heard some of my music. He liked it. And then, you know, he sent me over a track. And he was like, do you know what? Like, write some lyrics to it. Like, record your vocals and let's see, like, what we can come up with.
Nice.
Yeah, and then he liked it. So, yeah. The collaboration's on the cards now.
Oh, nice. So is there a date for that, or is it just in the works? We'll just have to
see. It's still in the works at the moment. I don't have an exact date, but I'm hoping it should be coming out before the new year.
Nice.
Yeah.
But you've opened for a lot of artists as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
You've done Fleur East, Alicia Dixon, Foxes, Stoosh, Little Boots, Becky Hill. That's a good roster of people. What's the biggest benefit you have found from opening for other artists?
It's kind of like every show that I've done has been kind of a different experience because the crowd's been different. So, like, with, like, Little Boots and Stooshes, I opened for them at the Westfield Music Cube.
Yeah.
So it was, like, I was performing in literally a cube box.
Amazing.
I know. It was quite insane. And everybody else outside that was listening had to hear through headphones.
Crazy. So,
I know, right? And I was like, okay, this experience is kind of peculiar, but,
yeah.
You know... I'm kind of loving it. I'm going to keep going with it. And then I was fortunate enough again to get picked as one of Westfield Presents the following year when they done it again. And then I was like, yeah, I'm so doing this again.
You were like, get me in that queue.
Yeah, get me in that prison box, please.
Yes.
And those headphones, don't forget those headphones.
It's a bit like a silent disco in Westfield.
Legit, that's exactly how it was.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Great. So that's probably the weirdest gig you've ever done, right?
Yeah, probably the weirdest, yeah. The weirdest. Everything else has been kind of like
normal.
Standard, yeah. You know, like your stage, your audience is like within reaching distance.
Yeah. is it made you a diva now? You're like everywhere you go, you're like, I want a cube, I want to perform in a cube, I want to be levitating off the floor, I don't want anyone to be able to hear me, only in earphones.
Yes,
I like that.
I want my headphones, I want to feel the floor vibrating.
This
and
is
I
it.
Want my cube.
You've got to become the artist that you're going to be, you know? Demand those things. On that note, you talk a lot about riders on the show. Now, riders vary gig to gig, but what's your, like, dream rider? You know, as an artist, you know, you can get whatever you want. You can get wine, you can get snacks. Like, what's on your dream rider?
Do you know what? I've never actually thought of that. I've never thought of it.
Babe, you need to get that list together.
Babe, you need to help me get
it
together,
I will.
Please.
Do you know what you do? Do you know what I put on my rider? One really expensive bottle of red and white wine and then enough sandwiches to kill an army. Or feed an army, however you want to put it.
Mine would probably be quite boring, though, because I'd probably be like, can I have, like, pyjamas?
Yes, great,
you know,
idea.
Like, some pyjamas and, like, maybe some slippers, like, and then just no, please nobody see me like that.
Right.
Like, just... Yeah.
Take them home and use
them.
And then, lovely.
And then a cup of tea, that would be all.
Oh, yeah, nice warm cup of tea. There we go. You're all set, babes.
Thanks, you've helped me with that.
Well, you're welcome. Now, listen, it sounds like you've got loads of exciting things coming up. Can we catch you anywhere live anytime soon? Like when's the next live gig happening? Or where can we find out if you are going to be announcing one?
So my next live gig is going to be with my dancers end
Ooh.
Of September, so 28th of September at Lincoln Pride.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So we're back in rehearsals this week, me and my girls.
Tell me about the dancers.
Oh, I love my girls. Literally, like... performing with them is just the best thing. They're sassy, they're fun.
This is what we like to hear.
Yeah, and like literally my choreographer, she's amazing. She's amazing. I love her. She choreographed my latest music video as well for I Don't Give a Damn.
Great.
And she's just all about like female empowerment and just being, she always says to me, you need to walk with sass. She's like, you need to have sass when you walk.
True say, she speaks the truth.
Yeah, I'm like, teach me, please.
Teach me this sass. Well, on that note, let's teach everyone a bit of sass. Shall we play the new single?
Yes, please.
Will you introduce it for me, babe?
So my new single is called I Don't Give a Damn.
They say that's how life goes. A few highs, a few lows. You just have to learn how to toe the line. See me fail, but I'm riding my own tail. Oh, and it's kinda crazy that life is not for me. My friends try to tell me, but I don't give a damn. Yeah, it's kinda crazy that life is not for me, for me, for me. But I don't give a damn. day. I don't care what they say. Oh, I. And it's kinda crazy. That life is not for me. My friends try to tell me, but I don't give a damn. Yeah, it's kinda crazy. That life is not for me. For me, for me. But I don't give a damn.
Give a damn. Max Leo, welcome to the building.
Yo, yo, yo.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very, very well.
Good, good.
You're very smiley.
I'm just happy guy.
Are you?
Good life, isn't it?
Listen, like, that is the best way to be.
I got good people around me.
You having a good time?
Yeah. Sun's out.
Sun's out, it's guns good. Out. You have also got your guns out as well.
Got to try.
Yeah. Well, you've got to give it a little
flex.
Yeah, a little flex. Now, it all began very, very young for you.
Yeah,
age nine, right. You started writing and performing. Is that right?
Yeah. When I was quite young, I got into a lot of drama and theatre when I was at school.
Ooh, dramatic.
I was that guy.
So I was that girl. So there's no Tino shade here. I love it.
Yeah, it was just at school a lot. I was doing a lot of. A lot of singing performances. My stepdad also played guitar and he kind of influenced me a lot. So guitar being around the house all the time, I picked it up and got my first one for Christmas when I was like nine, I think it was. So
oh, cute.
Just went from there.
Did you have like a mini drum set as well? Because I just love that when you see kids.
Just guitar. Just guitar.
You really had a bad childhood.
I just started picking up the piano in the last year and That's the other one that I've reached out to.
Oh, okay.
Trying.
How's that going? It's hard, the piano.
Yeah, it's easier when you can play another instrument because you can like kind of transition with the chords and get the same sounds, but
melodically it's easier if you know something else, isn't
it? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I tried to learn the piano and I hated it with a deep, deep passion, and I just blame the fact that I have short fingers.
It's the fingers, isn't it? I struggle with that. Mm. I actually struggle because I don't think I've got very big hands. So.
But you've got quite long fingers, no offence. No offence.
That's true.
But that is literally what they say. But also, I think I'm making it up and it's just an excuse. I'm sure there's lots of short-fingered great piano players out there.
There's anything in it. If you put a lot of time into it, you can get good at something eventually.
Which I did not
if
do.
It takes 10 years, 20 years.
We'll see you in 10 years when you're a master of the piano.
I told my mum after a year that I'd be playing like really well, and it's been 6 months and I don't think I'll be playing a tune yet.
You've only got 6 months left, mate. You better hurry up.
I'm getting back into it tonight, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, every night for the rest of your life, it sounds like. So you got out and about as well, performing live as a youngster in the, because you're from Yorkshire.
Yeah, just outside of Hull, a little village called Cottenham.
Oh, yeah, that sounds
it's
nice.
Is it nice? It's like Emmerdale.
Oh, lovely.
You go back and everyone knows each other and like five pubs. And
that's nice.
It's quite a lot for a village, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is actually a very intense amount of pubs.
It seems to just be salons and pubs seems to be the theme in the village. But
do they all compete with each other, the pubs?
Yeah, there's some hardcore competing.
Oh, shit. So that did that help you kind of form your style as a musician when you were out and about performing? Did you perform in some of those pubs?
Yeah, big time. I think
all five, or did one of them like not let you? I kind of like the idea of one of them.
One of them was a bit more of like the family pub with the quiz nights and everything. But it kind of really did shaped me big time, because I started performing live when I was about 14, and it was actually in one of those pubs that was my first gig, and then it went from there, and then I started to go to the city of Hull, which is the next door, and just doing so many like bars and restaurants, and but it was great because there was like such a community vibe there, so a lot
and
of people,
and it's a big uni as well, so a lot of like people to listen to you.
Yeah, exactly, and they put on a lot of the young people at the time when I was about 17. They were putting on a lot of good nights and events for the young people and a lot of the students and stuff. So, yeah, it was a really good turnout there.
How did you get in without ID?
Got older brothers.
Oh, Max, you naughty boy. I had a fake ID, so don't worry about it.
Oh.
I actually had a friend in the year above me who looked vaguely similar to me, and I just had her ID. On the weekend, she had two IDs, and I'd take one. That's very illegal. Anyway, how did that compare to sort of the London scene? You moved to London and started working in music here. It must have been quite an abrupt contrast to kind of being well-known at home and coming here, and it's a big industry, and there's a lot of change there.
It's very, very different. Mm. I felt like I'd been in, like, a bubble up in Yorkshire, and which was amazing, but then coming down, it was like opening a door to like a whole new world. Like at first, I felt very like out of depth and out of contact with a lot of people, but like it takes time and it might like be hard at first, but like now I know a lot of good people. It's coming along nicely, but there's a big difference.
Yeah. To be fair, yeah, I mean, I'm more thinking of those first moments when you arrive and it's like, actually, wow, this is a whole, you're breaking another layer of the industry that you haven't even started on.
Yeah, that was crazy.
But it's a fun experience, no?
Yeah, definitely. That's what's been interesting. Like, I've learnt so much since moving here, because like I felt like I knew so much when I lived in Hull. And since moving to here, I've opened my mind up to so many like new levels and opportunities, and it is crazy from how much you think you know to then moving to a big city, and it's like, nah, you've got a lot to. There's a long way to go.
And when you go home now, do people at home be like, oh, you sound so London now?
I've
is
had
your Yorkshire
a couple of
accent
times.
Gone? Because it sounds pretty Yorkshire to me, but I'm not a Yorkshireman.
It seems. I kind of stay true to my Yorkshire accent. Like, I don't want to lose it.
No.
But it's interesting. I've spent a lot of time with people from other countries. Like, I've got a lot of Italian friends and French. So then trying to speak in my Yorkshire accent with them doesn't go down too well. So I do have to adapt. And
okay, because they can't understand what you're saying.
Exactly. It's like that with Southerners sometimes. I speak to a Londoner and they have to be like, sorry, can you go again?
Go again. Oh, Max. The sad story of Max's
But you know
Yorkshire
what? It's great
role.
When they ask for the slang.
Yeah, I like you. I love accents.
Yeah.
Because I don't have one, really. Mine's very boring, so I love...
But to me, you do. So that's what's so great
about
it.
That's weird. Now, let's get on to the music. It wasn't till this year that you released your debut single, Real Love.
That's right.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
How was that when you dropped that? It was
amazing.
Earlier this year.
Amazing, yeah. It was back in June. Really good, great response, and I think I'd done a couple of years of doing a lot on social media and online, and I think there was a bit of anticipation on what my music would actually sound like, because when I was growing up, it was very like acoustic.
Did you do covers
music.
And stuff?
Yeah, I was that guy, and like
I think it's a great way to get to your fans.
Yeah, like, and I feel like you also like learn your strengths and weaknesses with your vocals.
Yeah,
and it was growing up. I wrote a lot of songs, but never actually released any.
Why is that?
I just don't think I was very clued up on it.
You weren't ready?
Yeah, and it was at the time when it was just iTunes.
Yeah.
So it was, I was like, shall I invest the money in like making CDs and selling at gigs? So when kind of Spotify and Apple Music came around, it changed the game completely.
Which is so interesting. I've never heard it from that way round, because a lot of people talk about the negative sides of that. Mm. But actually... I also think it's important to wait until you're ready.
Yeah, big time.
Like, you don't need to rush and release a single that's not very good. Like,
I think at the time I thought I was ready, but looking back now, I was like a child.
We all do, hun. Like, you were, like, that's the funny thing is when you look back at the songs and what you were writing about. And
yeah, that's true. I feel like the only exception is like Billie Eilish.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, her brother helps her with a lot of the writing, doesn't
exactly.
he?
I mean, she was homeschooled as well, which helps.
And she takes her whole family on tour.
Yeah. yeah, supportive.
And she's she's very good.
Yeah,
she's very good at what she
talent,
does.
Talent says it all.
Now, your latest single. Let's talk a little bit about. I think we're going to play that today. Do you still think? Well, no, we're playing. Do you still think of me today?
Yeah.
So that's your latest one. Follow up to Real Love. Tell me a little bit about it, because it's a bit sort of melancholy, but not in the sound of the song, but the vibe behind it. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah,
from your perspective.
I wrote it really quickly after Real Love. So I released the first single, and usually I have like a batch of songs I can release. Mm-hmm. But Do You Still Think of Me? Me and Spirit Party, we released it and wrote it within like 4 weeks after the first single.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting. And the vibe, I kind of, we were both on a really energetic feel, and
yep.
It was summer, it was the middle of June, like we were on a hype. It was the first release just gone. So I really wanted something, release something with a lot of energy, and mm-hmm. that made people feel good and make me feel good. But the lyrics for it and what the song is about is kind of a reflection on a good time I had a few years ago.
Oh yeah.
When maybe I shouldn't have. So
what did you do?
It's just one of those situations.
Did you do a naughty thing?
I wouldn't say it was too naughty. It was just
a semi naughty thing.
Yeah, could have been something worse than it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was
I think a lot of people have been there though, haven't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, and I'm a loyal guy, so it's
good. And are you single? Not single.
I know I'm in a relationship now.
Different person though.
Yeah.
Okay.
2 years strong.
I was going to say that's a dangerous thing if this song is about that.
Well, this is the thing with songs. You've kind of not got to say to anyone what they're about.
Yeah, don't tell anyone.
Cover stories are essential.
Yeah, make up a story, whatever it is.
Even if my mum asks, I'm like...
No. Just in case the press go knocking at her door, you never know.
Well, it's funny, actually.
It's the mums that always accidentally spill the beans anyway.
100%, especially when you're from a village. Because she'll be tells her friend,
everyone.
That's it. I can't tell a secret back home. Because everybody in the village knows.
God,
it's
mayhem.
Weird. It's a bit weird. London's nice
for that.
No, I like that.
I'm from a little village and it's very like that. But I also used to do the gossiping as well, so I'm here for it. Now, you did a gig at Ronnie Scott's a few weeks ago. That looked amazing.
Yeah, really enjoyed that. Really, the first time I played at Ronnie Scott's. And
it's a good vibe in there.
Yeah, amazing vibe.
What a sort of a history as well with that venue.
Exactly. And it surprised me how many people actually knew of Ronnie Scott's. Now, I know it's a famous venue, but when I was telling people I was playing there, a lot of people kind of taken back, like,
yeah.
Oh, like, you're actually playing that. And it was really nice. Like, there was a good turnout. I had a lot of family turn up, considering I'm from up north, so it was, like, a nice surprise with that.
Yeah.
Because they don't tend to get to many London gigs, so... Yeah, it was a real good energy, and I enjoyed it, like, so much. Yeah. I think it was actually one of my favourite gigs that I've done for the last couple of years. So.
Oh, nice. Well, I kind of think that's the case. You know things are going the right way in your career if that's how it works, you know? Like, not every gig's going to be better, but it's good to have a progression.
Yeah, because I've been there playing pubs in the middle of nowhere to, like, two people. I know it's, like, the cliche thing to say, but... I've been there and done that where they've like written your name on the board and got it wrong. Kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
So it's nice to see the progression to really like take it to the next level, to a proper venue. And it was it's just, as you said, taking it to the next level, upgrading. It feels proper now. It's not like it used to be.
But literally every artist that's ever existed. I was doing an interview with Jax Jones the other day on a show I do, and he was saying that he has played plenty of weddings. He's played festival gigs where there was three people in the audience, you know, yeah. and that was when he had a song in the top 10.
Yeah.
He had a song in the top 10 with Duke Dumont, and he was, you know, you know, those moments are what make you a better artist.
You
I
learn
think.
From it.
Yeah.
And it takes time.
I've DJed to nobody and everybody, you know, like I think it makes when you play to more people, it makes it so much more special.
Yeah, and those are the moments you learn from.
Yeah,
you look back at those now and we're able to talk about it and how much you've grown from it.
Yeah,
I think that's what's important. Is like a lot in my mind is reflection. I like to look back at the past but not think I want to be back there, but how far I've come since then.
Yeah, so. And you're working a lot with Spirit Party on your production.
That's right. My guy.
What makes it like? What is it about your partnership that you really get on with? Why is it that you work so much with him?
It's become natural.
Yeah,
it happened coincidentally that we worked together. I was because I can edit and videos, that kind of thing as well. So editing a video, he was doing the music for it, and it just clicked straight away. We got in the studio, and now it's almost like it feels like telepathic, like we can read each other. And I think that's because it's become naturally. So now we feel he knows what I would like to sing to and write to, and he knows what I like to write about. So it's come about really nicely.
And what are you working on now? Are you back in the studio together? Or
I'm actually heading out to Spain to see him next week.
Oh,
and
nice.
We're going to work...
La Vida Loca, as they say.
Exactly, yeah. We're going to work for a week solidly on writing, getting the next single prepared. He's telling me all about the mountains around the villa as well. So
I've actually been there,
special.
And it is very nice. It's very, very nice.
I can't wait.
Yeah, be prepared, though. It's going to be an intense trip.
I'm looking forward to that. I like that.
No, it's good.
Sometimes I feel like chilled is just... I'm a very chill person, but I like to be doing something all the time.
Oh, yeah. Especially with the music stuff. And are you planning on any more gigs before the end of the year?
There's none booked at the moment. I haven't got anything in the diary. I'm more just focusing on writing the next couple of tracks and getting a bit of a project together.
Yes, a little EP for us.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'd like to get something along the way, but I'm sure the next show will be coming up nice and soon, so... But
everyone just can head to @itsmaxleo.
That's the one.
And find you, and all the information will be there. But also, I'm looking forward to seeing kind of how your artist project goes, because I feel like you've still got so much to explore, which is exciting.
Yeah, I feel like it's weird, even though I've been doing it for so long. I feel like I'm in the start of the career.
Yeah, it's really nice like that. You know, you haven't been doing it. In the grand scheme of things, you haven't been doing it that long. I think some people get really lost in the idea that's... Like, for example, Billie Eilish, where it's like, that is incredibly unusual, where you...
Exactly.
You, but also, she's, you know, as you say, you've been doing it since you were, you know, 9.
Yeah.
But actually, it's very unusual to walk out the door and have a top 10 hit at the age of 17.
And so much goes on behind the scenes. The amount of friends I've got who are musicians just starting out, and they're kind of maybe a bit bitter towards other artists saying, oh, they've released like 4 songs and they're signed and they're playing this gig. And I'm just like, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You don't know how long they've been doing this.
Yeah.
Like,
they could have been doing it since they were 1 year old.
That'd be talented.
But also, everyone has their own journey, so don't worry about
that's not true.
That's to anyone who... And also, I think if you're not celebrating other artists who are successful, then you're in the wrong game.
Yeah, you're just damaging yourself if you're not celebrating others.
On that note, is there any artists that you really love at the moment that you listen to? Because I know some people don't listen to other artists when they're doing their own projects, but is there anyone that you're...
Funnily enough, I listen to a lot of American artists.
Oh, yeah.
Unintentionally, it's just the way Spotify throws them at me.
Yeah.
There's a guy called Role Model.
Oh.
That I'm really liking at the moment.
Oh, okay.
He's really, really chilled vibe. But
I'm
going
to check him out.
Yeah, dude. He's really good. And I love his songwriting. It's very chilled. His tracks are very, sound like they're homemade.
Yeah.
But also very professional
at
the same time. And I think it's... I've had a lot of artists be inspirational at the moment, and he's been one for the last couple of months I keep going to listen to.
Ooh.
And no matter what mood it is, he's kind of been an artist to listen to.
You can stick him on to get the vibe right.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, it's such a pleasure to chat to you.
Too.
We're going to play a bit of Do You Still Think of Me? Produced by Spirit Party, Max
That's
Leo
right.
in the
right.
studio, in the place. Do come back when you're dropping your next bit.
I would love to.
Maybe we can do a little live sesh.
Yes, definitely.
Do you want to introduce this for me, babe? And thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. This is Do You Still Think of Me by Max Leo.
Can we go back? Do you still think of me? Layla, Layla, where are you now? Can we my knees close, you made me a love-struck mess. Teasing in the bedroom, I tend like there's no rules. Wonder what happened if I said yes. Where are you now? Can we go back? Do you still think of me?
I'm Mabel, and you're listening to Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
Pipe it up, PJ. Nostalgia.
T-House up north or near the coast, through Dubai, there's both. Spend this bread on jewels, or spend it on smoke, man, spend it on both. Count up this money from old, or money from shows, man, count up both. In the pattern business and a pattern up home, I'm patterning both. Feds jam me up for worse than smoke, trying to do me for both. They want me back on soul, shoes and chips and rash, trying to pattern me both. But I'm on roll, yellow bones, brown ones, I get loving from both. Money and success, just let a young nigga go govern up both. Me and T-Buck see two ups and amazing, we ended up doing up both. Too much beef in the streets, we're hitting two blocks, we're shooting up both. I know Feds want me back up in court, sat in front of the judge, just doing up both. How many times in jail was it bread and oats, put peanut butter and pork? Now they said that I'm the king of drill, trap, rap, I'm doing it all. Everywhere and everywhere the gang smoky, let the gang then bring it on tour. Every day I hear niggas trying to draw me out, why they all want me to war? Fought for long of that poison of scorps, they don't want to swing it up both. T-House up north or near the coast, through Dubai, there's both. Spend this bread on jewels, or spend it on smoke, man, spend it on both. Count up this money from old, or money from shows, man, count up both. Patch in the pattern business and a pattern up home, man, patterning both. Feds jam me up for worse than smoke, trying to do me for both. They want me back on soul, choosing chips and rash, trying to pattern me both. But I'm on roll, yellow bones, brown ones, I get loving from both. Money and success, just let a young nigga go govern up both. I just died up, bro, for half a B, I took a pat on a coat. How many long afternoons did I spend in a tea, just bagging up both? J-Law scrambling eggs in the kettle, just wishing I could have it with toast. I'm gonna tell you all week was a Sunday roast, rice pudding all in that bowl. To this life of sin, I'm just trying to make sure my heart stays pure. Face had me locked for a time, evidence I never find, let your cure. I was trying to get rich or die, fuck China, I'd rather be dead than poor. I'm really out trying to govern it all, money, power, respect and more. T-House up north or near the coast, through Dubai, there's both. Spend this bread on jewels, or spend it on smoke, man, spend it on both. Count up this money from old, or money from shows, man, count up both. Paps in the pattern business and a pattern up home, man, patterning both. Feds jam me up for worse than smoke, trying to do me for both. They want me back on soul, choosing chips and rash, trying to pattern me both. But I'm on roll, yellow bones, brown ones, I get loving from both. Money and success, just let a young nigga go govern up both. Money and success, just let a young nigga go govern up both.
Presents
Access all areas.
Lauren Platt, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, great to have you in. X Factor's Lauren Platt.
You've all grown up. I feel like your auntie.
What about this rumour of X Factor All-Stars this year?
Well, X Factor All-Stars. So
Louis Walsh has already confirmed some names.
Yes. I
know. Yours has been bandied around.
I heard that you have signed on the dotted line.
Well, I wouldn't say the dotted line, but it's being thrown around a little bit. Ooh. And from my point of view, I'll be honest, it's like going back to a holiday destination that you love. Do you know what I mean? Like, why wouldn't I do it again?
Every Thursday
from 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
Big up to Max Leo for that. Matt, Mark and Joe are here of Reigns.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Great, how are you, Harriet?
I'm really good. It's funny that you've spoken first, Mark. Because you are the Englishman of the group.
I'm the Brits, I am.
Just pull that mic towards your face.
I'll get close to it, there we
go. Oh, that's better.
It's more sensual that way.
Yeah, hi. You're the Brit of the group.
I am.
But since coming together, you guys have moved together as a group to LA, is that right?
It Basically. Is mostly right, yeah. We don't really have a real place where we exist yet, but LA, I would say, is the closest thing to it.
You're just drifters, are you?
We're just drifters, yeah.
Home is where the heart is.
Well, exactly. Yeah. And where is the heart right now? In London?
In London, yeah.
Right here in this room.
There, baby! So, Matt, where are you from originally?
So, I'm from North Dakota in the States.
Oh, nice.
As is Joe.
Oh, so you're both from the same place?
Yeah. I'm from a city about 100 miles north of where Joe is from, and so we met at university, and now here we are.
And then how did it all start with Reigns? Like, what actually went down to make, how did you guys meet?
Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, thank you. So there's an extended story and a medium story, so I'll give you the medium story.
Okay.
So Matt and Joe, like they just said, they met at university, and I kind of at the time was just doing my own solo career, which was stagnating, not really going anywhere. And then I was at university. Matt and Joe were on the lookout for a new lead singer.
Oh.
And then I was like posting stuff on Instagram, doing the normal stuff. And then basically I got a message from Matt on, I think it was Facebook or Instagram, basically being like, this is going to sound ridiculous, but we're a band based out of LA. We're looking for a lead singer. We came across one of your videos and we think you'd be the perfect fit for it. And initially I was like, nah, this is pretty sketchy.
You were like, what is this scam?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not giving you my national insurance number.
Exactly. And then within about 10 days, I'd spoken to Matt and Joe, and then I spoke to our manager, and kind of just, as soon as I realized I had a manager, I was like, oh, it's pretty legit. And then within about 10 days, they booked me on a flight to LA, and that's when it all started.
So it's basically like, you're either going to get murdered or you're going to be in a band.
Yeah.
That was the
Took
vibe.
My chances.
Yeah.
Listen. Mum and Dad were very concerned.
I mean, it turned out really good.
It did.
It sounds like a pretty beautiful way to meet, I guess, the new era of social media and how it can link those things together. Did you guys kind of just stumble across the profile? Like, how did you, were you just scouring like singers and artists that you
so Joe and I had a project kind of, and I was writing a lot of stuff, and we were kind of playing together but weren't really a band in any real sense, because I can sing but like not like Mark can sing, right?
Yeah.
So we knew we wanted someone who could actually, like, it could be a lead singer. We spent, I don't know how long, Joe, months at least.
Yeah, a
like,
long time.
Looking through
too long.
Instagram, Facebook, like, we put up a Craigslist ad that did not work. And
Craigslist, I always only ever hear about Craigslist.
That Sorry is for mention, murder.
Yeah. It's always related to someone getting killed.
Yep.
So I feel a bit weird about it.
That's why Mark didn't answer that ad, probably.
Yeah.
I guess one morning, after all of that, I was up, you know, early, and I was like, we got to find somebody. I was scrolling through Instagram for like 6 hours, and I just found the needle in the haystack and was like, do you want to come be in a band in LA? And he was like, yeah.
That is crazy, though, that you were just like, sure.
I know, yeah. We were not I wasn't expecting him to actually be like, yeah, I'll uproot my life from England and move and do all this.
I actually double texted Matt. So I sent him a video. I was like, yeah, I'm so keen. And he didn't respond to me initially. And I was like, what?
Oh, God.
So then I sent him another video that I did, and then he eventually responded.
And I didn't respond because I didn't want to get my hopes up, right? Because it's like, he was exactly what we were looking for, but then we were like, there's no way he's going to come from England to here.
But also, you were then coming across as a creepy weirdo because you kept double texting. All right, I haven't even looked at the video yet. So you sort of like, it's almost like a weird, creepy online dating scenario
that
didn't involve.
Like that.
Yeah. any dating. It just involved...
Well, we're sort of dating.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, yeah, you... Well,
married
you are,
now.
Mark, right. You might be out the band at any time. That's so it. Just, you know that. So you dropped your first single, Lemon Drop. And it's a banger, for one, but it's also one of my favourite sweets. What was it named after?
So I wrote that, I don't know, what, two-ish years ago, and basically the whole, I mean, there's, you know, a couple layers, I suppose, but the easy answer is that Lemon Drop, it's just sort of a metaphor, like an extended metaphor throughout the song about, you know, the sweet and the sour, like the good parts, the bad parts, so.
Which is life, right?
That's it.
And it's a good song. Do you feel like it's a good song to start with, but why did you want it to be your first release?
That is a great question. I have a great answer.
We're all winning. Matt has really got it in the bag. He's like, not only have I got it, but I'm going to tell you how great this is before I have to...
Let me know how good this goes. We try and describe our sound to people, and obviously artists do that, but it's very difficult to actually do that in words, right? Because it's like, just listen to the song. And I think the elements that make us who we are sonically and lyrically, it's a really strong starting point, because we've got like violins, we've got like a, you know, mandolins, bouzoukis, like these folk instruments, and
bouzoukis.
It's a Greek instrument, but they play it in Irish music.
Sick.
Yeah. So,
oh my god, that is so weird that you said that, because when I listened to, when I was watching your covers online and when I listened to the track, it has got a real Irish folk vibe.
I made
to it.
Good. I love that.
That is so weird, because I didn't know whether to say that. I didn't know whether that was a thing, but now you've said it. That.
Oh yeah, it's intentional for sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. So I mean, that's the end of the answer.
so you kind of, you're bringing a lot of musical elements into it. Who does what in the band? Obviously, we know, Mark, that you sing, but also do you play instruments as well?
Yeah, I do. So I grew up playing the piano, and then I switched to acoustic guitar when I was maybe 14 years old. Fell in love with that, and then I started playing guitar over the piano. I can still play a bit of piano, but mainly guitar, vocals, obviously, and then a bit of piano.
About the bazooka? Who's playing that?
So I play like 10 or 11 different instruments.
Matt.
I grew up I was playing in a family band. I've got like a bunch of siblings. We toured around, you know.
Sick.
So,
that is amazing.
Yeah, I just play that stuff basically.
So you were on the bazooka. Bazooki.
Bazooki.
Yep.
Bazooki. Joe, what about you?
I play the acoustic guitar and I dance a little bit too.
Well, this is what I'm most interested in. So talk to me about your dance background.
I tell you what, I don't have any particular dance background. I never said I was good at it, but I do it basically all day.
He is very good at it.
Yeah. So that's the only background I have in it, is just doing it all the time.
Well, I think that is the best way to learn anything, no?
Mm-hmm. And being surrounded by people that are good at dancing. Mark's killing it these days.
Really?
I can too, but he just never shows it off.
I just don't dance.
What's nice about you guys is there's no competitiveness. You're just all supporting each other. It's like, oh my god, Mark's really good at this.
That does
really
seem true. So far, that's been true. So.
Wait till it all goes wrong, guys. You're going to be like, Joe's shit at dancing anyway. How much will that feature in a live? Obviously, I've never seen you live, Joe. So what happens on a stage when you get those dancing?
My legs just start to get to moving and they don't stop, and then my shoulders get rolling.
Oh, okay.
But it's pretty, you know, I do a lot in
static.
A small amount of, you know, area. Stage left or right, I still don't know what all that means.
No, I mean, none of us really know.
I actually don't know.
None of us really know.
Yeah, so I play guitar to answer your question.
You play acoustic guitar and you dance like a demon, which is very, very, very exciting to know. Now, you guys did sort of started off doing a lot of covers, which is a great way to kind of create a fan base and get to know your fan base and what they like and what they don't like. What was your favorite part about putting covers out before you started releasing your own music?
I think I speak for at least myself, but probably all of us. Like because we have. I mean, even before we had done any of these covers, we had and have, well, like 40 or 50 originals, right? Just like that we that exist. But yeah, like you said, a big thing was like we wanted to give people like something because we're coming on the scene. No one knows who we are, right? So I'd say like just being able to do our own arrangements of these covers because they're great songs, right? And so we just picked songs that we liked and sometimes like songs that we knew other people would be interested in. And it's just, it's fun kind of breaking them down and rebuilding them with like you replace a synth with a piano or a guitar line with a violin
or a
add three part harmonies or a bazooka, yeah, whatever you got.
Yeah,
so
get that bazooka out. Very important. You also recently announced you signed to Sony ATV, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
That's a real move, isn't it? Like, I feel like it's not necessary for an artist, but it is an exciting thing when it happens, you know, because yeah, it's showing that it's that support that you know is there.
That's it.
How did that all come about?
So we were in LA at the time, and our attorney was. So we were kind of in talks.
Ooh,
with
okay, your attorney.
He's giving it all away.
I thought you were a Brit. No, apparently not. My attorney will be in touch.
My lawyer. Yeah. That's a good
attorney. Thank you, thank you.
And then, yeah, basically, so she sent like an acoustic EPK video that we'd done.
Oh, yeah.
To someone that she knew at Sony. Without really expecting too much, she didn't even really tell us that she'd done it.
That's a good attorney.
But yeah, right. And then we just kind of heard back, and then it turns out that he really liked the song. This is prior to us. I mean, we still haven't released anything, but prior to us even having anything recorded, really. And she was like, "Oh yeah, this guy Rich Christina, who I know really well at Sony, he loves the song and he wants to meet you guys." And we're like, "What? Really?" So we got a plane in New York. We met with Rich and we played the song live for him in the office and he loved it and he was like, well,
that's weird, man. Yeah, just play it for me.
Yeah, we're like, okay.
Like the 60s.
We can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that is quite like 60 yeah, Mad Men vibes.
It was cool though. And then after that it was like, right, so let's get talking. We're like, so do you want to sign us? He's like, yeah, like okay, let's go for it. And then the whole negotiation process took like 6 months, which we're all so naive. We're like, where can we sign? Let's just do it now. But you know,
that's where the attorney really
exactly
makes her money.
That's
back, doesn't
right
she? That's the funny thing is that, yeah, oh my God, you've done us such a big favour. Nah, man, she was just trying to get that check.
Exactly.
She did. She got the check.
She got that check.
Not trying to get paid. That's
yeah,
it.
Exactly. Listen, she's just trying to make her money. But that's really nice also because she obviously believed in you as well.
Massively. I mean, that's the biggest thing. You know, we have a fairly small team around us, but I think everyone is just super on board. You know, mm-hmm, no one's really coming from like a big background. You know, we're all kind of coming on this journey together, which is nice. Yeah, everyone's got each other's best interests at heart, which is always a nice environment to be in.
Now, Matt, you said that you kind of don't have a home.
Right.
So, not you personally.
Well, also me personally.
But is that a no home, but mostly in America? Like, what do you do with Mark? Do you just, like, take him to your family home? Or
we have, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just... Well,
is your mom just like, oh, Mark again?
No, you know, moms love Mark. That's a big...
Oh,
he's really?
Really
got sort of the mom
grandma's
charm.
My grandma loves Mark.
Oh, is it because he's got that Hugh Grant, hello, everybody, I'm from England?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, very good, very good. How have you found it, Mark?
Great. I mean, it
being
was,
a nomad.
That's
just...
it. No, I actually really enjoy it. You know, I think part and parcel of signing up to be a musician is, you know, you're going to be moving around quite a bit. Like, I think ideally we all want to settle down and locate somewhere to kind of call it our home and our base. But until we get some logistics sorted out, like, we're just kind of floating around all over the place. And we all love it.
But it's weird, though, because actually, why would you when you know, wherever you settle anyway, you're about to embark on a big music career, so you're going to be moving around every 5 seconds anyway.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And
saves
especially
money that way.
Yeah, especially between, like, London specifically and LA right now are probably the hottest musical development places that you can be right now.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely bouncing between those two is kind of a very, very good place
to be. It's great, yeah. We're not trying to rent a house anytime soon, I don't think, so.
No, is Airbnb your best friend or
it
something?
Is.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. What's your rating like?
I think it's gotta be
pretty good.
4.7.
Oh, okay.
We clean up after ourselves.
Airbnb roulette these days. It's just
nice.
You know, we never know exactly what it's gonna be, but it's been good this trip round.
Okay.
So
whereabouts are you staying in London?
We are staying.
We just got there 3 hours ago. I have no idea.
We're staying quite close to Elephant and Castle.
Oh, nice. Yeah, South London.
Yeah.
Where are you originally from, Mark?
So I'm from Durham.
Yeah.
Near Newcastle.
In the middle of nowhere, FYI, guys, if you haven't been there.
Oh,
we have
been there.
Been there.
Oh, you have?
But the thing is, where we're from is also in the middle of nowhere in the States, so it's sort of a kindred spirit thing.
There's lots of clever people in Durham, though.
maybe the students that come to Durham, but maybe not so. Well, no, I'm giving it.
Don't put them down, Mark. Come on.
You're sitting right by one. Lots of clever people, yes.
Yeah.
When I was 18, I went to Durham on a night out, and I managed to convince people that I was Paris Hilton's sister.
Wow.
And I cannot tell you, even if you thought even slightly like I look, I don't look anything like her, for one, but even if you thought I do now, I looked totally different to how I do now that when I was 18. So it was the weirdest, most bizarre experience that I've ever had. And it was in Durham. That's what I'm just...
Did you have fun?
Oh, I loved it. I got loads of free drinks because everyone thought I was
going to say, I bet you did all right.
I already believe you, honestly.
Thank
With the
you.
Conviction of how you said that.
I am Paris Hilton's sister that no one... The one
Tell
that
her
they,
I said hey.
Well, I'm the one that they kept upstairs in the hotel, the Hilton Hotel, because they didn't want to let me out. I'm not Nikki. Nikki's someone else.
Just a different one.
I'm a different one that they were embarrassed by.
Right.
You know.
But you've done well for yourself.
You know how it is. So what are you doing for the rest of your time in the UK?
We have a couple of shows lined up north in Durham.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, just a few hometown gigs. And then I think we're just doing a few little press bits and pieces. Single comes out October 1st, so just kind of getting all the stuff.
Doing a So Far.
Ready for that, yeah. Sounds. So Far Sounds. Just basically anything.
Which is great. So
us.
Far Sounds. Yeah, same, babes. Yeah. Honestly, just make that money. Get that hustle. We're lucky enough to be playing Lemon Drop today, though, even though it's not out yet. Yeah, bitch.
Yeah, bitch is right.
Yeah. But I love sofa sounds and stuff. That's a really great way to kind of get your vibe out there. And I'm just really excited to see where things go with you guys.
Thank you.
So are we.
You've just got a really good energy and vibe about you. It seems like you really get on, and I'd love to hang out with you more. So make sure you come back when you're next
Absolutely,
in the UK.
Yeah.
When you're just travelling around, not knowing where you are. When are you back to LA?
It's a very good question.
Yeah, we're still figuring that out.
Yeah.
Whenever we throw you out?
Yeah. Honestly, yeah.
Nice. I like it. Well, let's play a little bit of Lemon Drop, shall we?
Let's do it.
Can we plug our socials?
Oh,
quick?
My God.
Oh, geez, we almost forgot.
Oh, plug them now.
Follow us at Raynes Music, RAYNES Music. Follow us on everything. We're on everything. Heck, we're probably even in LinkedIn. But Instagram and Facebook and Twitter.
Very
check us
importantly,
out.
Follow them on LinkedIn for any business acquisitions.
That's right.
And Matt, Mark, and Joe also have got loads of covers on their Twitter. That's where I found a lot of them, and it's really easy to find them. Go onto their Twitter page, and they've just got them. You can literally click. I watched about 10 in a space of about 5 minutes because they're all there, which is really... No, it was great because I got a real vibe of what you guys are about. And let's play a little bit of Lemon Drop. Who wants to introduce it?
Mark, you introduce it. You've got a cooler accent.
So this next song is our debut single called Lemon Drop.
Soon I'll be at the top and probably choke on a lemon drop. It's really embarrassing, but this look is everything. I'm willing to brave disgrace and leave just a pretty blue face. Well, maybe it seems insane, but at least you're entertained. They fall for you when they see that you've got away. It's all for you, but they beg for it anyway. They love the lines that you hardly remember. Oh, it's better if you live fast than leave too soon. I'm telling him that I won't stop until it gets even sweeter. Sucking on a lemon drop, I'll taste the shock till I'm out so late. How long before I finally forget the place that I left such a sour taste? But the sugar rush is on. Hills and savor the kinds of thrills that fit through a $20 bill. I'll probably lose control and tie a ticket to my tumble down soul. Or maybe I'll make the trade or be the prince of another parade. You dress me up and I throw them another smile. Impress the party, but I'm still my mother's child. Oh, fragile bones, I should never be left. Fast to leave too soon. I'm telling him that I won't stop
sucking on a lemon drop. I'll taste the shock till it melts away. How long before I finally forget the place where the left such a sour taste?
Thank you. Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well. I feel a bit sick. I just ate a very big pack of biscuits.
Oh, no. I mean, yes. That's great.
Regret
it. What biscuits did
you... It was like Fox's Melts, and I've just discovered them, so it's pretty dangerous territory at the moment.
I don't even know what they are.
Oh, God, they're delicious.
I'm going to Google them.
I'll buy you some.
Yeah, please do. I think that biscuits were made to just eat the whole pack, no?
I know, but I was hoping they'd last me a few days, and I ate them all on the tube here.
Oh, mate.
Yes.
And you feel
it's
sick.
Not good. Yeah.
The funny... Oh, I... Oh, yeah. They do look nice. They're like Viennese chocolate things. They're basically, for those of you who don't know, a pale biscuit with a chocolate inner.
Oh, it's lovely.
The thing is about things like that, though, is you get to the point of no return and it's too late.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't realise that actually you've eaten a whole pack of biscuits and you might be sick.
The second I finished the last one, I was full of regret.
Yeah, full of deep sickness and regret.
Yeah, exactly. I managed to walk here though, so it's alright.
You're smashing it. You're smashing
Thanks,
it, babes. So we're going to be playing Hearts, which is your latest single.
Yes, indeed.
And it's the follow-up to Enough and Daydream. Now, neither of us can remember. It's within the last year that you came in.
I believe so.
But and we had a lovely chat. But
we did.
Basically, a lot's been going on since then, so I want to hear all about it. It was when you dropped the EP when you last came in.
Yeah, it was just before Christmas, wasn't
yeah.
it?
So tell me a little bit about what the last, year-ish has had in store for you.
Wow, I've been doing loads and loads of writing, which
Great.
Has been amazing, loads with my producer, and we've been doing loads of gigs. We did some festivals, which has been good, and I've got really into parkour and rock climbing. So
parkour?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of that now.
What is parkour?
It's like free running.
Oh,
sort of like,
my gosh.
But it's,
gosh.
It's been really fun. So
parkour is cool.
Getting into that.
Do you do that thing where you just like flip off the side of a building?
No, I'm not
Please
there
don't.
Yet. I'm not there yet.
Please
still
don't.
I'm still on mats.
Can I just stay on the mats? Because it's...
I'll get there, Harriet.
It's terrifying. It's very Spider-Man. But listen, we don't have superpowers. So it gives me a bit of a gag reflex when I see people doing things off the side of a cliff.
No, I've not done any of the like one finger hanging off a skyscraper. No, it's okay. I won't be going there.
I really would rather take my own eyes out than watch that because it's too stressful for me.
Oh, it's all I follow on Instagram.
Oh,
some great stuff.
Oh, you like that?
Yeah, yeah.
Not
yeah,
for me.
Quite
Not
nice
for me, honey. Not for me. Now, let's chat a little bit about the new track, Hearts. Now, is this a bit of a different vibe for you? Because I know, obviously, let's say neo-jazz is your style, but we don't like
yeah,
to...
Yeah, I'm not really sure what it is. But
we
yeah.
don't put a label on it, but that is the label that I read.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
I think it's an easy place to people
yeah,
to start.
For sure.
Anyone who didn't catch the episode when you were here last time. But this has got more of a pop vibe as well. Like, you very much are putting your pop into the tracks just as much as anything else. And I think jazz is making such a... Obviously, it's always been around, but the resurgence is that it's really featuring it in modern music mm-hmm. much more strongly.
Yeah, for sure.
And sort of soul and that like funk mm-hmm. vibe. But how would you describe Hearts? Like where are you at mentally with Hearts?
I guess it is sort of like jazzy pop, but I kind of, because I trained as a jazz singer, I then had ages of people trying to kind of get rid of the jazz vibe from me. But
Don't
then
do
I
that.
Thought, yeah, but then we were doing so much writing over the last year, and I just thought, I do kind of love those jazz elements, and
yeah.
I don't really want to lose all of that. So
no.
then I love pop as well. So I kind of just didn't think about what anybody wanted and just sort of combined my two favourite styles together.
Well, good, because that is when the music starts to really take shape, I think, with artists, is when they let go of what other people are telling them to do.
Yeah, but it's hard. There's so many people telling you what to do.
It's so hard. Also, when someone tells you what to do, it's kind of natural because we're taught as human beings to do as you're told.
Yeah, of course. And when people know more than you, then it's you should listen to what they're saying. But
yeah, and it's hard to relearn that not doing that, if that
yeah.
makes sense. You know, you can't really just relearn the fact that someone's telling you one thing and you're thinking another.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to see that you've kind of been in the studio carving out the new, well, not new sound, but like the sound that
improved
you want.
Sound.
Yeah. Well, it's more that it's just like, I think as artists, you constantly elevate, change and move around the music industry. Sure. But it does feel like Hearts is in a great place for you.
Oh, thank you.
And it got premiered with Gay Times, is that
it
right?
It did indeed.
I love Gay Times. Big supporter of the mag. It also just is such a sexy magazine. And online and everything, it looks so good. But how did that come about?
I have absolutely no idea. I just woke up one morning and my manager sent it to me, so that was very nice.
That's so cool. I love that. When you don't even know how it happens.
Yeah, I believe I should be grateful to someone who's made that happen, but I'm not quite sure who it is.
Thank you to whoever
Thank
you
Thank you to whoever got that for me.
But it's a great kind of platform, isn't it, Gay Times?
Yeah,
Were you a fan before?
I didn't really know what it was.
Oh, it's great.
I've done my research now.
Yeah, it's like a Wonderland-style magazine. It's like very arty, but also... I've done a lot of talks with them, and they are really the message that they give, and they're also putting a lot of support behind music artists at the moment.
Yeah,
they've done
I was
a project
at the other artists who that yeah, there's loads of amazing stuff on there.
Yeah, well, they've done this collaboration with Apple Music, which is so sick, where they just want to basically support LGBTQ+ artists in the industry and make sure that they're getting heard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what's in the pipeline right now? Are you still back in the studio? What's coming next? I hate asking that because I know obviously you've just had Hearts.
So we recorded a load of songs back in January.
Nice.
And so there's about 6 or 7 of them, but we're going to release another 3 singles.
Nice.
So we're just kind of working out which ones are most praised. They're all kind of finished, but we don't know which ones to do.
Well, I think that's the weird thing, isn't it, when you're an artist. You sing on the tracks, you create them, you spend time on them, and then you're like... does it feel
and
kind of...
And usually release them and immediately don't like them.
Well,
so.
Yeah, it's weird. Is it like a numb feeling? Like, how do you kind of approach, like, which ones do we get rid of? Which ones do we release?
I don't know. It's kind of... release something that's my favourite, and then if that vibe has gone well, I'll release one that's maybe a little bit more similar, or if not. Because the ones that we've recorded, we've got some, like, really chill, ballady ones, and
nice.
Some that are more poppy. So, I don't know. We're kind of trying to keep it coherent enough. But
yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I can't really decide at the moment.
No, well, that's the pain of being an artist. Mm-hmm. Is like you have to. Do you feel like you've kind of been developing your voice? Has your voice changed in any way in the last? Because I think
my voice has probably gotten worse because I've not been working on my voice. I've just been doing so much work on writing and on instrumental playing. So.
Well, I know. I feel like it sounds really. I mean, it doesn't sound different. It just sounds really developed.
Changed a lot.
Yeah, it sounds great to me. Like as a listener, but I just wondered whether that was a conscious thing or
no. I've kind of because I've spent the last sort of 15 years or so religiously practicing, and I was doing a lot of classical singing as well. Then I was always really keeping my voice in shape, and now I've sort of stopped doing that, and it's become a little bit lower, a little bit huskier, and it's it's changed a lot.
But that's funny that you should say that, because that is really interesting, because obviously the classical training stuff is so regimented.
Mm-hmm.
And actually you saying, oh, I haven't done anything on my voice, that is your mental like relationship with the fact that you train so hard. Because you have been working on your voice, because you've been in the studio working on your voice, but not...
Yeah, I never think of that as actual work on it, though.
But it's like you're not training in the same way.
Mm-hmm,
so it's
mm-hmm.
like, for you, it's like that guilt thing where it's like, oh, I haven't been to the gym.
Yeah.
It's like the vocal gym, but it's actually like, do you need the vocal gym?
I know.
Or
I think I'm doing enough to keep it healthy, but it's like I'm used to... I mean, when I went to music school, it was like... hours of working on my voice, and then
it's
at college
intense.
It was so now if I just kind of sing for an hour or two in a day, I think, oh, it's not enough. I need to be doing way more.
Oh my god, your neighbours must have loved you when you were training.
Yeah,
like, all
sorry,
day.
I lived on a boat, it was fine.
Oh yeah, of course. So, do you still
I've moved now. No, I live in a warehouse now. It's lovely. It
I
used
love
to be a piano factory.
You're just dabbling in all the random like places to live. I love it.
Yeah, I need to find some more. But
no, you need to do the
I'm
next one.
Serial mover. So.
But also, you've got to elevate now. You've done boat, you've done warehouse where the pianos used to be made. Like, what is next?
I've maybe one of those shipping containers.
Oh
I
my
know.
God. That would be amazing.
We'll see.
You know those programs that are like tiny spaces reimagined?
Oh, I love that.
Love them.
Oh, that is, that's a great
thing. Panics me though, because I don't want to be. I saw one where
but the storage is so satisfying. It's incredible.
You're so correct.
Oh, love
you know,
that.
Like the one where the table comes out of the floor and you're like, how the fuck?
It's amazing. Yeah.
So over the next few weeks, are you going to be releasing any more new music on this side of the year?
Probably.
Yes.
Not sure.
And what about live?
Probably.
Can we come and see you?
Yeah, I'm at Lalo.
Oh yes, this is your...
I should know the date, but I actually
I've got it. You're at Layla on the 21st of November. This is your headline show.
Yes, it is, Harriet.
Amazing. Layla's a great venue. I have only been there once, but it's like an old townhouse.
I've not been there yet.
Oh, I went to a party, a Halloween party where I wasn't dressed up, and it was...
You weren't dressed up?
Basically, I had been working at an event before.
I know.
You're talking to someone who is deeply obsessed with Halloween. I've been prepping my Halloween outfit today ahead of time.
I'm proud to hear that.
Embarrassed that I had turned up, but it was really fun. Like the energy there, and also a lot of they really support new music artists and putting on gigs and stuff. So it's a good place to go. So that's on the 21st of November, which is a lot to look forward to. What's the plans? Have you started planning it yet, or is it a bit too early?
No, I haven't. We've got a set that we've been doing all summer, and so yeah, we've got a couple of new tunes, going to play the ones that we've released, and yeah.
And you said you were dabbling in a little bit of festival fun over the summer as well.
We just did a few small ones,
but they're the ones where you can really get
audience. It was actually amazing, because we kind of, one of the ones that we did was really small, and we kind of knew everybody by the end of the weekend, and that was amazing.
What were the small ones that you did?
Meraki.
Oh, I've not heard of that.
No, it's only been going for like 3 or 4 years.
Love those ones though.
Yeah, no, that was actually, we did it last year, and Mochibo was there, and Pixie Sick. Lot. And yeah, it was really cool. And they had those slide bouncy castle things. So
great.
So I was happy.
Who cares about anything else?
Who cares about the music?
Literally,
bouncy castles.
You're just like, yeah, I'm doing a live performance, but also there's bouncy castle slides. So who cares? I'm signed up.
It was a beautiful day.
Well, yeah, I do a lot of smaller festivals, and I think they're a really lovely vibe. You get to know people, and also your fan base. It's more of an intense way to get a fan base, I think.
Yeah, it's nice and personal, isn't
it? You know,
it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're really actually connecting with people on another level. Mm-hmm. And now it's winter, so we've all got to hibernate.
I know.
It's
still pretty nice. I went swimming today outside. So it was nice.
Oh. Well, it is nice. I'm actually sick of it. I want it to be cold now. I like...
What?
I like autumn. Like, my favourite weather is, like, crisp cold with the sun, and it's just giving me heat and hotness, and I'm like, I'm done with this. Oh, I know, I'm a dick.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. So before we play Hearts, do you want to tell us a little bit about what it's all about?
I can do, yes. So this song is about somebody who I don't think they know it's about them. But I was seeing this girl last year who I'd actually gone to school with years ago. maybe. But yeah, we kind of were having a little thing, but because I was a little bit mental at school when she knew me. She didn't really want to commit to anything, which was fine, but a bit of a shame.
Oh.
And also wasn't really gay, so...
Oh, I love those
ones. One of those, yeah.
Love them.
So it was a bit of a situation.
But also, that's kind of nice for you, like, satisfying for you in the future to be like, oh, you're not really... But you do a little Turner. I love Turner. Doing a little Tina Turner. Love it. Well, that's, you know, it's a nice little heartbreak because you've used it to make a great little song.
It's all right.
You know? We live and we learn.
We sure do.
Naomi, thank you so much for coming in.
No, thanks for having me.
This is Hearts, and we hope everyone needs to come down and see you on the 21st, but also hopefully some more new music end of the year, early next year. Lovely.
Flying round in an alternative paradise. You may hate it, but for me it should suffice. I told you once, but I guess I tell you twice. We are all a different set of dice. I could kick it with you later if that's cool. I know you don't get me, and I can be pretty cruel. People have had the same issues with me since school, but I swear I'm okay, and I think you like me too. So put our differences aside and let me come on over. Let's just put a film on and we can stay completely sober. Nothing has to happen, I just want to chill up a while. But hey, I'll leave it if you don't. This begging's not my style. Hearts are colliding over.
calcifice. I didn't mean to, but I guess I'll tell you thrice. Too many throws from that same set of dice. I stay home a while, just sit and wait for you to tell me what it is that you would like to do. I hang here, cause I don't have a clue if you are going to come through.
Reggie Snow, and I'm chilling with Harriet Rose. This is FUBAR Radio. What's good?
Shake it, I shake it, I shake it, oh. I shake it, I shake it, I shake it, oh. I shake it, I shake it all on you. I shake it, I shake it, I shake it, oh.
With my ass bouncing, about to turn your mansion into the pussy palace. Shaking on you like
Pra começar direito, eu só letro pra você. Rainha se escreve com dois L e dois T. Como estagiário no trabalho, eu tô sem tempo. Se tem um problema, eu resolvo com talento. Dedinho na boca, sou uma tentação. A pista pega fogo, derretendo o paredão. Já mostrei que eu sou queen, falo sério pra vocês. A coroa é pesada, mas eu me acostumei. Achei que o meu confusão. Achei que aguentasse a pressão. Do M.A. cheguei em L.A. A Pablo e a Charlie, mais uma vez. I shake it, I shake it, I shake it, oh. I shake it, I shake it, I shake it, oh. I shake it, I shake it all on me. I shake it, 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 I shake it all on you. I shake it, I shake it.
That's Charlie XCX, Shake It. Jay Loon is here. Hi, babe.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. It's a lovely afternoon.
We're having a lovely time. That was, by the way, a song we were just talking about. It's called Shake It from Charlie XCX's new album. You're a fan of Charlie XCX?
Yes.
It's got Big Freedy, a Cupcake and Brooke Candy on it. Quite weird, though.
Very weird, but here everything with Brooke Candy on is going to be cool, right?
Yeah. She's got a good vibe about her. She's actually coming to the UK. She is. Who's she touring with? Wait, she's supporting Charlie on tour. That's why I know. She is supporting Charlie on tour right now and then also playing at Heaven very soon.
That is going to be a mad show.
I mean...
And Heaven is a great venue for shows. I've seen Goldlink play there, Masego.
I love Goldlink.
Yeah, it was a crazy show. Sounds great in there too.
It's a great venue because it's also iconic. So obviously the gay side of it, but then also the music side of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had... I've seen Miley Cyrus there. I've seen like so many crazy.
Yeah, they
people.
Don't. They don't slack on the booking for that venue at all.
No, they have crazy good bookings. Like, but I think everyone wants to play there. You know,
definitely.
Anyway, let's talk about you for God's sake. thank you so much for coming on in the show. We're going to play Two Angels today.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Tell me a little bit about. Well, first, actually, I want to talk a little bit about the beginning. You were born in Watford.
Uh-huh, yeah.
What was it like growing up there? What were your musical influences?
So, you know, it's kind of like a satellite town. You're kind of in London, not really, you know. Anybody that's not from London is like, you're from London, and then everybody who's from London is always like, you're not. So
you're not one of us.
Exactly. So you're kind of constantly one foot in, one foot out. But that's kind of, it's kind of nice. You kind of get the best of both if you want it. But yeah, I grew up, I listened to a lot of Stevie Wonder through my dad, and you know, we had like the Beatles, and my mum's side was Whitney, it was Celine. So I had some great songwriters and amazing
divas.
Songs. Divas and just great songwriting.
Yes.
Just so much soul from all of it. So I think that really was something I had in me, I like to think, from just like having listened to that growing up and growing up and growing up with it.
I think Celine Dion is one of my favourite people ever. Is that you did mean Celine Dion?
Yeah.
Imagine if you're like, no, Celine, someone else. Celine Dion is an icon.
I mean, just also, she's really stepped into, even with all the outfits she's got.
Nah, she's next level.
She's like,
she's iconic. Like,
I think, I can't remember what a Met Gala one, but I remember she did the jeweled carnival thing, wasn't it? Like the kind of the carnival inspired outfit. It was crazy.
She wore a bird outfit for the Met Ball. Like,
wow.
A bit, it had like big bird wings.
She just doesn't care anymore, really. She's just like, I'm doing me and you're going to accept it. I'm Celine Dion and this is what you get.
But like, if you're booking the theme of camp at the Met Gala, if Celine Dion's not there, then I'm unsubscribing. Like,
yeah.
I'm not involved.
She knew the brief and she just was like, yep.
She is the brief.
Yeah, exactly.
She is the brief. But I don't know if you've ever seen like the videos where she does there's mashups of her just being absolutely nutty, being like... And she's like, she was doing the before Cardi B even started. Like, she is the queen.
I need to see these.
She's the queen of the random noise. I will send you one because I think it will educate you in another level to Celine Dion. Now, so you had all these great influences of the divas, but also incredible songwriters like Stevie Wonder. But you started off with classical training, musically.
So I started playing piano from the age of 7. That was my first instrument.
God,
yeah,
at
I know.
7, I was just picking my nose. You were there.
I mean. It might have not been amazing, but I was, you know, I was plunking along, just playing like...
You could play chopsticks like nobody
oh,
else.
Oh, you know, I was like in year 4, just whacking it out. Everyone was going crazy.
Amazing.
But, so I was doing piano and then I got into singing and kind of was just always doing it. But I kind of felt like with the restrictions of kind of classical training, you kind of, you get given the pieces, you got to do what you got to do. And like, that's kind of it. And there's not a lot of... you can play these incredible pieces of music that we all know, and you know they are amazing, but in terms of your own creativity, you're very much restricted to what's on the page. And I always wanted to kind of do my own thing, and I had a very strong vision about what I wanted to do in songwriting, and I kind of have taken what I've learned from classical and I guess have just applied it into what I want to do, and kind of I keep what I want and like left the rest behind. But to be honest, it's helped me a lot.
It's so good with discipline. It's good with like learning how to be, I guess, do music. But it doesn't have to influence your style, actually.
No.
Because your style has got to be you. I mean, Naomi Banks, who we just had in, she trained classically as well to begin with. She was just talking about how since not being like training classically, it's kind of weird because you're not focusing on your vocals, you're doing it in a different way. But I think it's positive to kind of go with the flow and see where it takes you.
I mean, absolutely. Otherwise, you're just never going to find your own identity, especially in this. And it's exciting to be a bit lost.
Well, yeah. Talking about being a bit lost, Jay, you then did a chemistry degree.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a time.
Mate, I'm gassed by this. Because you don't... Do you know why I always get really excited when people come... Like, musicians come in with science degrees? Is that those two are so different. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people who are artistic and stuff, they don't follow that other side. But mm-hmm. I'm so intrigued by the mind of someone who is stimulated by both music and chemistry.
I mean, I've always said this. I think music's like sits in the middle, and you can be either completely abstract and creative or really within kind of the methodical. That's the word.
Yep.
That kind of science has. And I think you can approach music from both.
Absolutely.
And like, I kind of do that, and I have my own creativity, and I kind of, you know, get rid of the rules and just whatever. But it kind of helps to have also a bit of structure. I respond well to that, at least.
Sick.
So that's kind of, you know, I guess that's where that came from. And I guess that's what doing a chemistry degree gave me, like that way of thinking.
But it's a similar thing to like the classical training. It's like you have that regimented thing which teaches you to be, I don't know, the artist that you want to be whilst also being spiritually creative.
Yeah,
you can follow a methodology that works for you.
Yeah. I mean, to be able to break the rules, you've got to kind of know them first and able to manipulate them. But like, it's kind of, you know.
Jay, I love that.
Yeah, it's
coming out with the quotes all day today.
Yeah,
I love it.
That's me.
You also, but as well as being a musician, you've done professional audio engineering, which is again something that's quite difficult.
Yes. So after my chemistry degree, I then worked and used my money to fund a course at Abbey Road Institute, and I learned to be
good for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was a hard slog, but I was like, if I need to change my direction, I've just got to grab the bull by the horns and just do it. So I really. I'm so grateful for doing that to the school and all the people I met. And it really gave me kind of a confidence with my own music, because suddenly you can see above it all and be in control in terms of like, you know how to make something sound good, or at least you've got the skills to do it, like mixing and like even production and being adventurous and knowing that actually you've been given a skill set that you can kind of just mess everything up, but know that you can still kind of keep it together and sounding good. Like,
but also a lot of artists don't know how to do that. Don't know how to audio engineer. Like there's no. Whereas you've almost got the backstage knowledge there.
I mean, it's definitely a great thing. Like, I'm mixing all my records. Like all the records you'll be playing or listening to, I've mixed. You know,
honey, you're saving money.
I mean, that's the other thing as well.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of the unwritten thing that comes with having all these things. You don't have to go to everybody else. Also, just having to always go to a load of people. Sometimes people can be annoying.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Tell me about it, hon. At least you can always fall back on a Breaking Bad career. Listen, with that chemistry degree.
I mean,
you've got so many like things that you can do.
The amount of questions when Breaking Bad was out, the level of questions that I got that people were like, but can you do that? Could you do that? And I was like, well, theory, yes, I probably could. But like, do I have the resources? No.
Also, do I want to? No.
Yeah, exactly. That I mean,
no one wants to be anybody in Breaking Bad.
I mean,
like, it's a depressing story.
When you think about it, it really is actually.
It's really, dark.
I read a really good tweet this morning about Walter White, and it was like, Walter White didn't get any sex for 5 seasons. That's what you call bad culture.
Yeah, like he literally was the most sad person on earth. He got a bit of money, no sex, and he was really angry all the time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was really, really angry. But actually, no, he got a lot of money. But it, at what cost, you know? It wasn't a really, it didn't really glamour, it wasn't really a glamorous story.
No, I don't think it was. By the end especially, I felt very uncomfortable.
Yeah, series 5 was heavy.
Yeah, it was too just much. Like, okay. I was like, okay, tap out
and
now.
And people just start dying left, right and centre. Not, no spoilers, sorry, but it's just...
Listen, if you haven't watched it by now, go away.
Yeah, yeah, it's just, it's, yeah.
Now, in terms of the audio engineering, you've worked with people like Gucci Mane, Machine Gun Kelly. What was it like working? Did you learn anything from audio engineering other artists' work that then influenced yours?
Yeah, I think you always do. I think when you come into contact with other musicians, there's always something to pick up. Mm-hmm. And maybe not directly from them, but from their team. And with the Gucci Mane thing, it was very much the session was set up. I was in Germany. The session was set up with a German artist, and we pretty much didn't have any control on what was going on. We were there to facilitate it. We had to just do what we were told, make sure things were working, make sure that people didn't get pissed off, yep. make sure that there was sound when there needed to be sound. So it was very much like that was like
clinical.
a very high level. Gucci came in, introduced himself. This was post-prison, so he's very straight-laced. Like,
hello, I'm Gucci Mane, something
basically,
like that.
Shook his hand, and I was like, hi, I'm Jay. I know who you are. And it was, you
I'm
know,
well
it was
aware
really nice.
Of your name.
But then the other side of the coin was when we did the Machine Gun Kelly, they had Ray Schremer come in at the same time. And
sick.
That just turned into a hot box, basically.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
But that session was more free. They didn't really know what they was doing. They just came in to vibe, and we were there to be reactive.
Yep.
So that's kind of like...
That's when it becomes a bit more interesting,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, that's when you're kind of... That's can be stressful, but they were so chill. Honestly, yep. They were the loveliest guys that we could just... You know, when they wanted something, we just had to be there to do it and make sure that it worked. And honestly, it was so relaxed. It was so fun to do that. But, you know, I love doing sessions like that. I prefer the sessions that are more dynamic mm-hmm. and more
well,
like...
Of course, because you get more freedom to be yourself.
Yeah, and I mean, there's points where they are a bit more stressful than having everything kind of painted for you as mm-hmm. steps like painting by numbers. But at the same time, that's kind of how you learn and
absolutely.
How you have fun.
And then came your debut single to Angels.
Yes.
So when did you kind of birth the artist project, your artist project?
So maybe I wrote pretty much all the songs that are on this next project coming up about a year ago. And I've been probably doing the Jay stuff for about a year before that. So mm-hmm. best part of 2 years, really. Just kind of finding my feet, carving a sound. But really from a year ago is when it was like, do you know what? I know what I want to be. I know my identity. I know what kind of stuff I'm going to do. I can see where it's going musically, visually.
I'm doing
Let's
this.
Let's just do it and
yeah.
just see where we can go. And yeah, Two Angels was wasn't actually one of the first songs I wrote, but when I wrote it, I knew that it was going to be like, you know, I just wrote a song and I was like,
yeah,
this song is something that I need to finish. Mm-hmm. It's something I need to work on. I really like it. Everyone I've played it to has really liked it. I get a good feeling when I play it to people. So I'm just going to run with that. And then, yeah. I started working on it.
And what feedback have you had from people?
People have really, really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Like, I've had a lot of, you know, it's been a diverse kind of range. Some people said it sounds some Stevie, some Frank, some Kate Trinada.
Yeah.
I obviously worked on the production with a good friend, S Fidelity. So he's a Berlin-based producer, someone who I studied with, actually, at Abbey Road Institute.
Oh, okay.
So that was how the connection came about. So it's been really
useful.
Nice to kind of... Yeah, but it's just really nice to kind of cultivate these friendships into what we're doing. And it worked out really well. It just happened to be that we both like the same music and we both wanted to kind of push a vision.
Yeah, but it's weird as well because I think there's a lot of artists now, like an example would be like Ray, who studied music and started making music at like 12.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that people are going the route of being a writer, an engineer, a producer, and then curating their artist project from all of this stuff that they're learning
mm-hmm.
from themselves, other artists, whatever, and then creating an artist project. So it feels like you said, oh, it's been 2 years, but that's no time at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, to hone yourself and hone your craft and know who you are, that's
yeah,
actually
yeah.
very fast.
I mean, it feels, it's weird, it feels super fast, but it feels kind of... It feels like it could be faster, but that's, I guess, you're always, when you're always
That's just because you're an artist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is understandable, but I'm really excited. It's part of an EP that you're working on.
Yeah.
When's that dropping?
So the EP is coming out end of January.
Perfect.
I think I don't know if I can say the date, but I think it's the last Friday of January. So I think that's the 31st, which happens to be my birthday.
Happy birthday for then.
Thank you very much.
A bit early, but what I'm looking forward to hearing it. Please do send it over when it's all done. We're going to have a little play of Two Angels.
Perfect.
Jay, it's been a total pleasure to chat to you. I really love your journey into music, and I'm looking forward to seeing where it all goes. Do you want to introduce it for us?
Of course. I'm Jay Loon, and this is my first single, it's Two Angels. Enjoy.
Leave the world behind, we're seeing new sights, Two Angels. Nine to five, we live on new time, Two Angels. Leave the world behind, we're seeing new sights, Two Angels. Fucking nine to five, we live on new time, Two Angels. We're just trying to stay living, arena forgiven. Angels are fleeing to paradise, have done no wrong. Who do no wrong? We're just trying to stay living, but we do no wrong. To cure us, no illness to be cured. Whose thoughts too absurd? What voice speaks the words? Who do you hear when you speak to your God? Leave the world behind, we're seeing new sights, Two Angels. Fucking 9 to 5, we live on new time, Two
show we've had today. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you to Eleni C, Max Leo, Rains, Naomi Banks and Jay Loon. It's been a pleasure. Next week we have a jam-packed show, so make sure you join us from 4 p.m. next Thursday. I will be back. Exciting night tonight because it's the Mercury Awards. We've got some big ones up for nominations tonight. Neo, Saturn, Little Sims, Grey Area, Dave, Psychodrama. It's never the one you think that's going to win that wins, is it? So it's probably because I haven't, for example, listened to Seed Ensemble, that's another one that's nominated, or Black Midi. So it's probably going to be one of the ones that I haven't actually listened to that wins, but I'm really... Oh God, Slow Tie as well. Nothing Great About Britain. Now, any of the ones I've just listed, I would be gassed if they won. But I'm putting a little hint with my last song of the day. We're going to play Professor X, which is Dave's new track. Obviously, he's featured in the new Top Boy on Netflix, and this is part of the soundtrack. So good luck to everyone that's nominated tonight. As I said, anyone who wins that I've just listed, I would be gassed. But also good luck to all of the people, because they've obviously got great albums if they're nominated for the Mercurys. It's such an iconic award ceremony. Big up to all of you. Love you loads. Catch you next week. Don't forget to download this and have a check out of all of our interviews on YouTube. This is Professor X, Dave, nominated for a Mercury Prize tonight for Psychodrama. Bye.
Tweaking, 120 on the M-way speeding, LV hat, backpack and sneakers, any girl that I'm with is a 10, 9, 8, brethren decent, now I'm in a party with the sweetest, chocolate brown in Reese's Pieces. I'm tweaking, 120 on the M-way speeding, LV hat, backpack and sneakers, any girl that I'm with is a 10, 9, 8, brethren decent, now I'm in a party with the sweetest, chocolate brown in Reese's Pieces. My brother got a new wristwatch, but don't watch that, cause you could get nauseous, could get seasick. I mean, all of my ex-girls hate me, but how you gonna have my baby, don't you know I'm living that baby boy lifestyle, everything crazy. If you don't chat to your guy, your GOC, I ain't talking Mercedes, nah, let's talk about drama. I got a Peng Brown in my zone, and I'm in a zone too like karma. Man, pull up, hop out, pull over, if it's palaver, cool, say nada. Now I'm in a party with Tara, and that girl got body like armor. Football and Balenciagas, or I kick ball in my all black Pradas. No acting, never went rada, I'm a top boy like Sunny but darker. Ha ha ha, what's the drama? Peng can still get aired, left on red then blue like Barca. If it ain't about face, don't down me. If it ain't about face, won't answer. I got a Browning living in Sydenham. Professor X, cause true say the back ain't there, but the brain is brilliant. And my new thing came with kids, and that's okay, cause I am still dicking it. Little man wanna jump on FIFA, so I'm close to the sun like Icarus. Whitewash man, then I'm back in the room with his march, and I whitewash that for the thrill of it. No bareback man, got a jimmy it. Backside jiggling, shaking, rippling, and then not just tickling. Tryna hide my face, cause I can't stop giggling. Then man, all hickory dick. What's glistening but the rollie ticking is, it's such a shame. Tweaking, 120 on the M-way speeding, LV hat, backpack and sneakers, any girl that I'm with is a
man around, those snitches, they're not around no more, and who do you think that's because of?
Was it us that got a man moving? Don't be stupid, no bumper, with a bumper, new number, hit a bat like who's this cucumber, in a belly like a broomstick, R8 or the Lamborghini, the man there don't plan to see me, cause my niggas on grease like Santorini, I got a brown skin girl from Bush that will take that charge on the chest if I say so, both hands on the wig while I hit from the back, got me pulling on the tracks and cane rolls, two man in a super dry jacket, a new Astra, man it's looking like plain clothes, we ain't never had halos, just Henny and Jenny from the block, no J-Lo, this year here's gonna be a mad one. I need a good girl, I need a bad one, I need a brand new vest and a handgun. That man need that more than a man does. That man need cash more than a man does. That man being crashed more than a man look. You don't wanna end up in my bad books. It's not a good look, give a man a bad look. Tweaking, 120 on the M-way speed.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.